Always here, amen. And we appreciate you coming out on Wednesday. I know Miss Sherry Heidenberg, you come when you can, amen. And we should be wireless, and there's a little mute button at the bottom there. There it is. That's a little loud. Amen. Unks on the sound booth. Amen. Watch out. Amen. Just turn me down just a little bit, Unk. Just slide it down just a little. Amen. There we go. Amen. And as soon as I stop touching everything here, it'll be just fine. Stephen Sammons told me last week, said, Pastor, it's rubbing against your tie. Amen. And I've been in services like that where you're like, why doesn't that sound man do something? Amen. And Dr. Malone used to say all the time, he said, there'll be no sound systems in heaven. And he used to joke and say, and I think very few sound men too. Amen. Hey, let's stand for James chapter 1. We'll read verses 14 through 16. And I know it says part 2 tonight, but it's really a continuation of part 1. And time's getting... Well, look at that time. It's almost 10 to 8. Amen. And praise the Lord. I'll move through what we've already done last week, and we'll get through this lesson, I promise, tonight. And we have our crucifixion service next Wednesday, and then back into James. James 1, verses 14 through 16. Just these three verses tonight, so let's read them together. Amen. Beginning in verse number 14, chapter 1 of James. Ready? Begin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Father, again, we pray that you bless your word tonight, Lord, to our hearts, God. Draw us closer to you for truth, and Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you for all that you give in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. We have our introduction there. Last week, it was 2 weeks ago, amen. We looked at God's command not to blame God when we sin. And isn't that the way we are? We play the blame game, amen. And we're hearing that a lot. We mentioned, and I'm not shy to mention this, I don't apologize for this, but the Supreme Court cases are coming up. I'm telling you, one of the arguments is simple. God made me this way. And so why shouldn't I have the right to marry? Listen, God does not make us sin. Amen. And so we're cautioned. We looked at God's command not to blame God when we sin. We looked at the admonition. It says, let no man say when he is tempted. God very clearly admonishes us, don't. Amen. And then the justification. I'm tempted of God. It was God that made me do this. And then we looked at the refutation. God cannot be tempted with evil. So then, if sin does not come from God, where then does it come from, and what process does it take? We looked at Roman numeral number 1, the consideration, verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So what is the origin of sin? We looked at Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong unto God. There are some things which God has chosen not to reveal. Amen? Some things are like that. You know what I think about when I think about that, Brother Leonard? We did a study on the book of Jude a couple of years ago, and I think about the angels that sinned. You know, God didn't tell us what their sin was. There's some speculation, and I think some very strong speculation, but that's all it is. As you know, when I preach, I do this. I walk away from the pulpit. Because I'm giving you my opinion. I think you can put scriptures together, make a case. But and then later on, when God buried Moses in Mount Nebo, and the Bible says no man knows to this day where he is. And you know why? Because they would have made an idol out of him. Same thing with the brass serpent. That's why God ground it up and put it in the river. Amen. Nehushtan. But just there are things that God says you don't need to know. And then the end of Deuteronomy 29:29, he says, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And so he says that if I show you things in the Word, they're yours. Amen. And then we quoted also Matthew 22:29, when Jesus was answering the Sadducees, he said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. So if we're going to look at the origin of sin, let's look at the Scriptures. Amen. And so we looked, number one there on your outline, we looked at the prince. The origin of sin, sin originated in the heart of Lucifer. It was the sin of pride. It was the sin of an improper self-appraisal. He said, I'm going to be God, and forgive me, but God said, no, you're not. Amen? And you know, isn't it funny, but funny in an odd way, that not only we have the prince there, but secondly we have the parents. Isn't it funny that Satan tempted Adam and Eve with the very same sin that he was guilty of? Pride. He said, you're going to be like God. That's why God doesn't want you to eat of that tree. He doesn't want you to be like Him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God's desire that we be like Him. He said in Romans chapter 8, we know verse 28 where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But in verse 29, He said this, that we would be conformed into the image of His Son. God wants us to be like Him. And Satan's just a liar. That's all he is, amen. So we see the origin of sin in the prince. We see the origins of sin in our parents there. And of course we know, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we're all born into this. And so we look, number three here, at the personal. Number three, you have the prince, the parents, then the personal. That's found in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. The first A there, underneath number 3A, is sin's internal lust. Sin's internal lust. This is where sin originates in us. That internal lust. And it says there, when he is drawn away of his own lust. Notice it doesn't say if he is drawn away of his own lust, but when. Is there a big difference between the words if and when? More than just two letters too, amen? There's a big difference between those two. One is a certainty. When. It will happen. We will be drawn away of our own lust. This is one of the terrible, unintended consequences of Adam and Eve's original sin. This is one of the terrible, unintended consequences of Adam and Eve's original sin. Let me just tell you, and folks, I hope I'm not beating a dead horse on this gay marriage issue. It's very important. It really, really is. I want to tell you this. The unintended consequences, when you see people and they use the term marriage equality, okay, that's one side of the argument. Let me tell you what that really means over here. Marriage redefinition. There's a big difference. See, they say, well, we just want equality. Well, since marriage has never encompassed this group, then it is a redefinition. And you know what the unintended consequences are? Marriage is destroyed. And I don't think it's all that unintended. Unintended consequences of Adam and Eve's sin is that we have sin's internal lust. We desire to sin. Look, if you would, we've got a couple verses here of Adam and Eve's original sin. That is, we are born with a sin nature, in quotation marks there. We are born with a sin nature. Let's go to these two cross references here. We've got Psalms chapter 51. Go over to Psalms chapter 51, Old Testament. Right smack in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. And if there's a chapter of the Word of God that I have read more, only more than Isaiah 53, for I read that at every communion service, I read Isaiah 53, it has been Psalm 51. And I think about it in our Sunday night series. I don't know when we'll get to it, but we will. It's the failure psalm. It's a psalm for people that have failed. Amen. Look at verse number 5 of Psalm 51. Here's David, and he's confessing to God. You know the story. The old prophet Nathan called him out on his sin with Bathsheba and his sin with Uriah. He said, "Thou art the man." David starts out with verse 1, "Have mercy upon me." Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly." And then he says in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me." Verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the unintended consequences that we get from our father Adam is we get a sin nature. Now, if you look at my boys, you could see Eric has some of my features. My mother said, "My goodness, he looks just like you when you were that age." And if you look at our little boy Luke, he has my wife's facial features. And if you look at Luke when he's throwing a tantrum, he has my temper. Amen. And if you look at Eric when he's not throwing a tantrum, he has his mother's temperament. And all those things we passed down. But our father Adam guaranteed passed us down something that we really don't care for. And that's our sin nature. Go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans 5, 19. And I'm hurrying here, amen. That clock just keeps on ticking. Romans chapter 5, amen. Something else we see here. We are born with a sin nature. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made," what's the word, class? Sinners, amen. So we have this sin nature on your outline. "Therefore, such satanic solicitations to do evil," and that is God, not God rather, but the God of this world, Satan, tempting us to do evil, when he solicits us to do evil, they are met by a matching internal desire. Okay? They're met by a matching internal desire. In other words, our sin nature wants to. Somebody say amen. Our sin nature wants to, that old nature. You're in Romans, go over to Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Here's the greatest Christian that has ever been, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Romans. And he says here, in verse 21, he says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." This is interesting too. Look, if you look on your outline here, his own lust indicates the different temptations of each individual. Listen, Satan is not going to tempt some of you with liquor. It's not going to work. But other people, he uses that lure. Okay? There are some people, listen, I can tell you this, God's never going to tempt me to watch wicked soap operas. I'm just not doing it. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. Some of you, that's a terrible temptation for you. You struggle with that. Each has his own makeup. And boy, I'll tell you what, other than God, it seems like isn't there anybody that knows how to tempt us like Satan does. Boy, he knows what works, what doesn't work. But we have this sin's internal lust. And then what we have, lastly tonight, is we have Satan's external lure. We have Satan's external lure. And that first part of it there, it says in verse 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust, and then the last part says, and enticed. Satan knows that we have a sin nature. Satan knows that we have a sin nature, and he is a master fisherman. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And you see here the methods that Satan uses. And he's been using these for so long, and they've been working so good that there's just no need to change. How many of you fish? Raise your hands if you fish. Amen. You fishermen. Oh, listen, you find a good spot and a good lure, why move? I remember the only time I ever fished, we fished a couple times, but the only time I ever fished consistently, I went to baseball camp when I was 13 years old. Went to a place called Lenox, Massachusetts, New England baseball camp. Actually, the guy I bunked with was a major league pitcher. Not then, amen. But he ended up being a major league pitcher. His name's Steve Carsey. We went, and they had a stocked pond. I mean, there was more fish in this pond than water. They're just bumping into each other. All you had to do was take a piece of bread, put it on a hook, and you could put it on literally just a piece of string, amen, and hold it with your finger and just pop them out of there. Other than that, I don't know how to fish, amen. That's the way to fish. Or take a piece of dynamite and throw it in the water. That's the way to fish, amen. They all come to the top. But Satan, he's a master fisherman. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. You know these verses. If you've been in church at all, you've seen these verses. It says here, love not the world. Amen to that. Neither the things that are in the world. Boy, now you're meddling, Pastor. I mean, I got my boat and I got my car and I got my computer games and all. Listen, neither the things that are in the world. Why? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty serious, amen. For all that is in the world, and here's Satan's lures, amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Satan uses, not only he knows about sin's internal lust, but Satan uses external lures of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Listen, that's what he got Eve with. That's what he's gotten everybody with except the Lord Jesus. And by the way, if you read the account in Matthew, he used all three of those to try to get the Lord Jesus, but he couldn't get him. But listen, and the reason is because the Lord Jesus doesn't have a sin nature like you and I. See, he didn't have an earthly father like you and I to pass down his sin nature. That's why it's so important that Jesus was born of a virgin, because he didn't inherit a sin nature like you and I did. But Satan knows. We have this process of sin, that we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. The personal, it's a sin's internal lust. We've got that sin nature. It's that internal desire that wants to sin. But thank God we have a new nature too, amen, that fights with it. We'll talk about that in the coming days. Father, thank you so much.